Have you ever wondered, why isn't my attorney fighting harder for me? Why does it feel like they're not pushing back enough? If so, then this episode of How Not to Suck at Divorce is for you. If you're going through a divorce or you're thinking about getting a divorce, then this is the podcast for you. We give you the unpopular opinions no one else is talking about that will save you thousands of dollars on your divorce. Hosted by Morgan Stogsdill, the head of family law at the largest family law firm in the country, and comedian Andrea Rappaport. We're going to hold your hand, we're going to help your heart, and you will avoid the biggest divorce mistakes. This is How Not to Suck at Divorce. Look, I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes not all attorneys are created equally, and your attorney might suck. They might. But a lot of the time, the real issue here is that you're working against the law and you might not understand what the law actually allows your attorney to fight for. And if you don't understand how family court works, it can feel like your attorney isn't doing their job. It can feel like your attorney is just rolling over for the other side. When in reality, they may just be telling you something that you don't want to hear.
And I think this is a big thing that you have to remember. These are feelings, but a lot of times the law doesn't care about that. The judges make decisions based upon what the law allows. So if your desired outcome isn't legally supported, your attorney can't magically create it. They could be the best attorney out there at the biggest firm with the best reputation. But the bottom line is, it might not work out like that. For instance, I'm going to give you an idea of what I've dealt with many times. We have a client come in, let's just call him Chad, because if you know our podcast, Chad and Brenda, they are our fake couple.
It's Chad and Brenda.
Chad comes in to see me, says Brenda has been just a real jerk during the marriage. Brenda has been gambling. She's taken all of our money. Brenda bought a house in another state. Brenda did all these things. And I want retribution. Now, for me, I'm saying to this client, I'm saying to Chad, yeah, that sounds pretty bad. We'll do what we can to fight it. Well, then what happens? We finally get the actual documentation that Chad gets to us about all of these allegations. And the facts don't really support Chad's emotional needs. The facts on the paper or the documentation are different than what Chad thought.
Well, so Chad is saying she gambled, she did all of this, and all of the money is gone. And you're expecting the facts to back that up with large amounts of money and Brenda completely draining them. Is that kind of what? And then the facts would show that that's not actually what happened. Is that kind of what we're saying here?
That's totally what we're saying here. That the facts on the paper, on the bank statements, on the documents that we actually get, don't really show that.
Chad feels like he hired you to do one thing. He hired you to go after Brenda and to fix this problem. And we're not saying here that Chad is totally wrong. I'm sure that Brenda did gamble and did fuck around with their money, but not to the point where there can be any kind of legal retribution. Or this could even be a more nuanced situation where, let's say, it's not something like spending money, but just something that you want, whether it's something with the kids, whether it's something really specific that you want because you are hurt. But there's no law to back that up.
Right, exactly. And that's kind of something that you have to know about this divorce process is that a lot of people come in, they want to seek that retribution. They want to feel better about the divorce process because they're angry with what they perceive as being slighted or aggrieved in their marriage. And they might be right. Chad might be right. Brenda might have been a humongous jerk during their marriage and done some really crappy things. But that doesn't mean that divorce lawyers have the law on their side to prove it.
You know, it's because I think most of us who aren't attorneys, we don't walk around thinking about laws. We don't live in a life where the law comes into our daily world. I mean, unless we're criminals. I mean, think of, like, I barely pay attention to the speed limit. You can imagine how much I pay attention to, like, laws and thinking whether I'm acting within them. We're going off of our emotions. And it goes back to what we talk about all the time. Divorce is a result of something emotional that happens. So naturally, that part of our brain and our heart is turned on. And it's so hard to shift and think, oh, wait, there have to be laws that back up what we want. That law is standing in the way.
You're right. You're right. And here's the other thing. A lot of people, when they realize that there are risks on their side, let's go back to the Chad example. And he's really angry at Brenda, and rightfully so, right? But my hands are tied in the law of what I can get him. And Chad says, you know, you're not fighting for me. When I came to you, you said you were going to fight for me. And I said, okay, if you want to take this all the way to trial and get on the witness stand and talk about how bad Brenda was during your marriage, I'm okay to do that. But you have to know what your risks are. You have to be willing to accept those risks on the outcome. And this is a big one, and you have to be willing to pay to go the entire way. Because trial and divorce going the entire way without a settlement and going to trial costs a lot of money.
It's a dice roll. And you're handing over all of your power at that point. And that's something that we're about to get into right now, which is, what are your options? Right? Like you just said, Chad hired you. So I'm assuming that if you clicked on this episode, you might be feeling really frustrated with your counsel because you hired them. You put all of your trust in this person to fight for you, to do their job, right? Because that's what attorneys advertise. I'm going to get you what you deserve. I'm going to represent you. I have the best interests of you, your kids, your money, your salt and pepper shakers. Put everything you have in me, right? So we think, I'm hurting. I'm paying you, Morgan, to stop the hurt. Do your fucking job. Well, let's go back to what we're talking about here. What's the big takeaway? We want you to leave this episode having more knowledge so that you can be your own advocate in the smartest way and without spending thousands of dollars unnecessarily. Part of the reason why your divorce is getting so expensive is because you're making mistakes. And that is exactly why Morgan and I took time to create the new and improved Divorce Crash Course. This is a private podcast and an online guidebook that holds your hand so you avoid the most expensive mistakes that people make in their divorce. It's $50 thanks to our friends at Our Family Wizard and SoberLink, and it is a game changer. Direct link in our show notes. Go get your hands on the new Divorce Crash Course. So here it comes. If I were you, I would ask your attorney for whatever you want. Question one, is there any kind of law that supports this? And then based on that response, you would say, okay, what's the realistic expectation of getting what I want? Whether or not there's a law that supports this or not, what does that process look like? Is this a slam dunk in your opinion, in what you've seen, in what you've experienced, in what you've tried in the past? Or am I going to end up spending more money and not getting a whole lot in return? Even if they say, no, there's not a law that supports this. That does not mean game over. I'm going to get to that in a second.
You're right. And here's the thing. What does legally supported mean? Legally supported means, and this is probably a truth that people don't want to hear, legally supported means having an attorney that isn't afraid to tell you the real deal. Having a yes man is not what you want. Legally supported means that they are coming to you with your risks and the upside. But legally supported means that there's a law that backs up what you're trying to achieve. Or if there is not a law that backs up what you're trying to achieve, they're telling you straight out. And that's the problem that a lot of us lawyers run into, is that clients don't like negative feedback. If it doesn't meet their needs or what they want to accomplish in the divorce, they assume that their lawyer isn't fighting for them, when really what their lawyer is trying to do is manage their risk and save them money.
When you're told by your attorney, no, this is not legally supported, we then naturally think, well, then fuck, game over, right? No, here's where you have the opportunity to get creative and strategic and get what you want. That is where the really good attorneys think, okay, how can we do this? How do I work with opposing counsel? And what can we do? How do we utilize sweeteners? How do we go into negotiations and help you get what you want? That is where, that's kind of where the magic happens, you guys. The magic is not in going before a judge. There's very little magic there. That's all facts. Now, when we've got something that is legally supported, great. Then your job is to collect the facts. Then your job is to put together the timeline. That's how you make your job, that's how you make your attorney's job easier and your bill a whole lot lower by helping collect the facts to prove your case. If there are not facts, if there's not law to support what you want, then we get creative. So Morgan, let's touch on that for a second. What can that look like for somebody?
So let's talk about that. There are times where I have to have tough conversations with my clients and say, hey, what you're asking for isn't supported by the law, or I got all these documents and you said one thing, but the documents are showing a totally different story. And so we're probably not going to be successful on this point. If I'm the client at that point, instead of just going under a rock because you're mad that your lawyer is telling you something you don't want to hear, what I would do is ask your lawyer, okay, in light of that, what can we do to get creative to get me a little bit more or get me a better deal? And let your lawyer start thinking of different ideas and setting the tone of what's realistic and what is not. Sometimes during a case, you go before the judge, at least where I practice in what's called a pretrial conference, where the judge gives you ideas on how to settle. I will tell you, not many people come out of there on either side excited, because you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. But it's a way that you start the discussions of how to settle. So you come out, you tell your client, hey, this is where the judge fell. Some things are not favorable to you and some things are. At that point, that's when it's time to get realistic. And the client should say to the lawyer, or the lawyer should say to the client, hey, here's some ideas. If we took this and we ran with it, here are some ideas that I think could maybe get us to the finish line.
When you want to get something that's not supported by law, let's just say it's like an emotional want, something personal in the house that both parties want, okay? Both people want this painting. It makes me go back to that crazy story we talked about several months ago about the $10,000 ashtray. Or was it $100,000? It was something like wild how much money they fought over an ashtray that was later smashed to pieces. Let's say it's something that you want. It's a painting. You have an emotional attachment to this painting. Brenda also has an emotional attachment to this painting. There is no law that supports either one of you getting this painting. So what do you do? Do we go back to the biblical days and cut the painting in half? No. We negotiate. You go to the table. Maybe there's even a mediation over this painting, but that's where you get creative. So Morgan, what are some creative things that you do in these situations? What's a sweetener?
A sweetener could be, okay, well, what are you willing to give up that the other side really, really wants? And maybe you kind of want it in order to get your hands on that painting. Or what position do we have to take that might be ridiculous to scare them or to get the leverage so you can get the painting? What do we know really in this negotiation really that bothers them or they're stuck on? And then maybe we use that as leverage to get something we want because we know ultimately we'll come off of the issue that really matters to them.
This is where things can get interesting. This is where there's a difference between a mediocre attorney and a really good attorney who can think strategically and creatively. And this is also where you want your counsel and opposing counsel to get along, because this is where two creative minds who have a good working relationship can get a deal done.
That's right. So the takeaway of this mini episode is, if you're getting feedback from your lawyer that you don't love, understand first what is the law and do not just jump to the conclusion that your lawyer is not fighting for you or it's not going your way, because if the law doesn't support what you're asking for, no lawyer is going to be able to get that.
You need to be your own advocate. If you're feeling frustrated, if you feel like your attorney's not pushing on something, ask, is there a law that supports what I want? Is my want legally supported? Are there any facts that can help me get this? what's the realistic expectation? Is this a slam dunk? The other thing that you can say, which some attorneys love, some attorneys hate, but I'm infamous for asking people this question. If this were your life, what would you do? If this were you, how would you handle this? I'm an emotional mess right now. Can you please step into my brain and advise me? Some attorneys will do that.
I think most attorneys would do it because they're there to give the recommendations to get you through this awful process. But remember, you are doing it. You are in this process. You've already made steps. Or if you're starting to think about this process, this is the divorce podcast for you. Check out our DCC, our divorce crash course that's online. It's super helpful.
You can get a template for a timeline, which is what we mentioned a few minutes ago. If you are trying to push something that's legally supported and you need a really easy way to collect facts to bring to your lawyer, the Divorce Crash Course has a template in there that makes your job so much easier. That's why we do the show. We're here to make your life easier. Even if it's sometimes what you don't want to hear, at least you know. At least you're hearing it from us and you're not paying somebody thousands of dollars to disappoint you. You're going to be okay. Even if it feels like you're not okay right now, at some point you will be okay. This divorce will not define you, and it's not going to ruin the rest of your life. Keep going. You can do this, and you have got this.
And we, my friends, have got you.
The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast shall not be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information heard in this podcast shall not and should not be used as legal advice.